As soon as all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland along the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard of this, they gathered together as one to fight against Joshua and Israel. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they on their part acted with cunning and went out and made provisions and took worn out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended, with worn out patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes, and all their provisions were dry and crumbling. And they went with Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country, so now make a covenant with us." But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us. Then how can we make a covenant with you?" They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you? And where do you come from?" They said to him, "From a distant country, your servants have come because of the name of the Lord, your God, for we have heard a great report of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey and go meet with them and say to them, we are your servants. Come now, make a covenant with us. Here is your bread. It was still warm when we took it from our houses as our food for the journey on the day we set out to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and crumbly. These wineskins were new when we filled them, and behold, they have burst. And these garments and sandals of ours are worn out from the very long journey.' So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore to them. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, they heard that they were their neighbors and that they lived among them. And the people of Israel set out and reached their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Kaphira, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the people of Israel did not attack them, because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Then all the congregation murmured against the leaders. But all the leaders said to all the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will do to them. Let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath that we swore to them." And the leader said to them, "Let them live." So they became cutters of wood and drawers of water for all the congregation, just as the leaders had said to them. Joshua summoned them, and he said to them, "Why did you deceive us, saying, 'We are very far from you when you dwell among us'? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and some of you shall never be anything but servants, cutters of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Because it was told to your servants for a certainty that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. So we feared greatly for our lives because of you and did this thing. And now, behold, we are in your hand. Whatever seems good and right in your sight to do to us, do it." So he did this to them and delivered them out of the hand of the people of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day cutters of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, to this day in the place that he should choose.
And you may be seated. Well, guys, we are back in the Word. We are jumping back into the book of Joshua. Last week, after being off for a week with Easter and spending time there, the Lord did some incredible things during Easter. And I want to make sure that you hear me. On Resurrection Sunday, there were lives all across our campuses who came to know Jesus Christ. They experienced resurrection. It wasn't just a get up and get dressed up day. It was a day where dead men came to life. that day. Thank the Lord. Praise God. So with that, we're jumping now back into the book of Joshua. So I'm going to ask you to make sure you leave that open. As I say often, those of you who have been around here with me, grab that card in front of you, something to write with or some thumbs, some notes, because there's going to be some things that I know you're going to want to go back and look at today. Something that is a pattern that you see throughout the book of Joshua that we've been in so far is this. Is that when Joshua and the leaders and the nation of Israel, when they had a decision, when they had something they had to take care of, and they waited on the Lord, they heard from the Lord, and then they obeyed the word of the Lord, guess what happened? They had success. But when they had something that they needed to accomplish, or they didn't seek after the Lord, or they didn't obey the word of the Lord, do you know what happened? They failed and chaos ensued. Think about this for just a moment and where we've been as we've been walking through Joshua. At the very beginning, the Lord told Joshua, if you do all that I tell you, no man will ever be able to stand in front of you. No country, no king, no nothing. Joshua gets to the raging river of Jordan, and God tells him to do some unique things that may have sounded crazy to you and me. But he did that, and they crossed, all 2 million of them, they crossed the raging river of the Jordan. They get to Jericho, and God tells them to do something militarily that everyone would look at. What? You want us to walk around the city 7 times, blow trumpets, and scream, and the walls are going to come down? But they obeyed fully, and you know what happened? They succeeded. But in the middle of that time, remember there was a man named Achan, and he stole, he deceived the whole nation. He took some of the devoted goods, some of the devoted things to the Lord. He stuck his hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, took the cookies back to his tent, put them under his bed. And you know what happened? There was destruction as they went to go fight Ai. In fact, Joshua didn't seek counsel from the Lord to go fight Ai. And as a result, because of the deception of Achan, not seeking the counsel of the Lord, chaos ensued, and all of the people of Ai chased them out, and they went and hid. Chaos happened. Listen, I want to say this to you guys real quickly, okay? Here's what I want us to catch. You and me, when we as the people of God do not obey his word that he gives to us, chaos begins to ensue in our families, and things begin to happen. And the Lord has called us that we are to follow his word. So here we are in chapter 9. And in chapter 9, I think one of the things that excites me, that I think we get to find out today, that we're going to experience today. You may be like me. I can be easily deceived. I can be easily deceived. Some of you right now are going, not me. That shows that you are deceived. Because you can be easily deceived. And you know what ends up happening? Oftentimes, we end up deceiving others. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 17, the scripture tells us, Jeremiah writes, and he says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and wickedly evil. We don't even know and understand many times. And so today in chapter 9, we're going to see, as Rico has just read, as Rico has just talked about, this how Joshua and the nation was deceived. And we're going to see two things today that I want to make sure that you catch. I want you to write these down because I want you to get them. Number one is this, is that there is a danger for deception. There's a danger for deception. But thanks be to God, there are defenses for and against deception that we're going to see in his word. I want you to read with me. We're going to read Joshua chapter 9. I want you to see this. Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. They're going to put it on the screen, and let's read this. It says this, as soon as all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland along the coast of the great sea towards Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard of this, they gathered together as one to fight against Joshua and Israel. Now, real quickly, prior to this, what's ended up happening is Joshua and the nation of Israel, they have been fighting against single city states. They went and fought Jericho. They went and fought Ai. But now all of a sudden, chapter 9 tells us that all of the kingdoms, all of the ites, all of them have gathered together that are on the side of the of Canaan, all the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, all of them, they've come together as one. They've made an alliance against God and God's people, and they're going to destroy them. Now, listen, Joshua knew, here's what Joshua knew, because of the command of God to Moses and then to the command of Joshua, Moses gave to him. He says, listen, you're not to make any covenant with people in Cana. None of them. In fact, what I want you to do is you're to destroy all the people, because here's what he knew is that God knew that if they didn't take out all of those people who lived in the promised land, his people, they would join forces, they would come alongside, they would intermarry. And what would end up happening is they would walk away and they would begin to follow false gods. They would begin to follow the idols, those dead wood, metal idols that don't live. And they would turn away from the one true living God. You see, it was a matter of faithfulness to God. Paul echoes this in 2 Corinthians. You remember in 2 Corinthians when Paul is speaking to them and he says, listen, you're not to be unequally yoked, believer with non-believer. Now I want to make sure that I'm really clear. That's not like a yoke, like you break an egg. That is a yoke like that's on a team of oxen. You have a team of oxen, you would yoke two of them together and you want them to be headed in the same direction. And when believer and non-believer come together, parents like to talk about this, don't we? When your kids are dating or you've got someone that's about to get married, you talk about, believer and non-believer, don't be unequally yoked. I would say it goes even further than that. When you're trying to make decisions, you're entering into, some of you are businessmen and businesswomen, and you've made partnerships and alliances, close partnerships and alliances with people who don't follow Christ, and it's ended up creating tension in your businesses. Listen, I want you to hear this. Opposition as a follower of Jesus is always going to come. You realize that, don't you? Scripture guarantees that opposition is going to come. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. If believers do not follow Jesus, his word, and what you go, well, how is that possible to be a believer, a follower of Jesus and not follow him? By not following and obeying his word, what ends up happening is that it emboldens the world. They end up saying, listen, if those who surrender their life, those who say, I follow Jesus, aren't following him, why should we fear him at all? You see, in Joshua chapter 9 that we just now read, all of those ites, you remember what it said? It said they all came together and they made an alliance against God's people. Well, Joshua chapter 5, only four chapters previous, that same list of kings, is there. And it says of that same list of kings, four chapters earlier, when they heard about what happened at Jericho, when they heard about the Red Sea, when they heard about Egypt, their hearts melted because of the Lord God and his people. So what happened between Joshua 5 and Joshua 9? Let me tell you, Joshua 7 is what happened. Achan deceiving the nation, dipping his hand, not obeying the Lord. And now all the kings of Cana are saying, they've been defeated once, we can do this. That's why, follower of Christ, it is so very important that you and I, we stand on the word as his followers, because opposition's going to come. Listen, opposition's going to come even if we're standing on the word of God. But when we stand on the word of God in the face of opposition as it comes, the kingdom grows. That's a proper place for amen right there. Yeah, when we stand in the face of opposition, the kingdom grows. Did you realize every Sunday when we come together here and we sing to the Lord, people are saved, people get baptized, did you realize the kingdom grows? When we come together on Monday mornings, you and your household, and you sit down with the Word of God and you read the Word of God, and then you get up and you leave and you fight sin. Did you realize the kingdom grows? Did you realize when you sit down with your children at night and you open up the Word and you begin to talk to them about what it means to follow Jesus? Did you realize the kingdom grows? Did you realize that today, there will be there'll be a Pentecost around the world of people coming into the kingdom of God. Yet in the face of opposition, as believers, you know how we overcome in the face of opposition? By the power of His Word. It is the power of His Word. And some of you have faced this, haven't you? You're like me, you faced it. My goodness, you have a spiritual moment. The Lord does something in your life. He gives you something from the Word. You get saved. You have a breakthrough. There's a freedom in your life. And then all of a sudden, like you're on cloud nine. And then all of a sudden, the enemy just begins to attack. Comes out of nowhere. Maybe it's coming from without. They're attacking. Maybe it's coming from within with doubts and deceit. Maybe it's things that you once thought you were over, they start coming back at you. I left that at the foot of the cross. How did it get up and start coming after me? Here's what I want you to know. It's not coming after you. This is a spiritual battle. And you are the ploy. You're the pawn. The enemy is attacking you because he wants to destroy God. So if he can destroy you, he's destroying God. He feels like he's destroying God. Opposition is going to come, but I need you to know, it's by His Word that we overcome. It's by His Word that we stand strong. You don't want to be deceived by the enemy. You don't want to be Joshua and the Gibeonites. They start to deceive you. Then we get into His Word. Daniel Defoe, the author of the 1700s who wrote Robinson Crusoe, wrote this. He said this, wherever God erects a house of prayer, the devil always builds a chapel right there next to it. Folks, we gotta know that the schemes of the evil one is to destroy you because it's a spiritual battle, but we've been given a weapon, only one, and it's His Word. It's His Word. So let's look real quickly, all right? Real quickly, let's look at the danger of deception from this passage. So far, Joshua and Israel, they've had to deal with some enemies that have come their way. They dealt with the enemy of the raging river. They dealt with the enemy of the fortified walls of Jericho and its warriors. They dealt with the enemy of sin in the camp with Achan. They dealt with going back to the city of Achan and destroying it. They even now are dealing with an alliance of all of the people of Cana as they're getting ready to come. But they face a very unique enemy here in chapter 9. And that enemy is the enemy of deception. Now, it's ironic, don't you think, that they've just defeated the city of Ai by a military deception. You remember that? If you don't remember it, you wanna go back and watch that of chapter 8. Listen online, those type of things. You wanna see that. They themselves used military deception to win that battle. And now they're falling to deception themselves here in chapter 9. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 in your scripture. Verse 3 introduces us to a people group called the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites are the descendants of the Hittites. And they decide that they're gonna try to deceive, and they have this great plan. They have this ruse, if you will, that they're gonna pull over on Joshua and all of Israel. The key is that they also pull it over on their alliances. Remember that all of the kings were coming together, and the Gibeonites say this, what we're gonna do is we're gonna go to them. Gibeon is only 20 miles from Gilgal, somewhere between the end of 8 and the beginning of 9. Joshua and all the people have come back from that big worship service. They've gone into Gilgal. I'm sure some of the men started shaking as they went back into Gilgal. You remember what happened to Gilgal, don't you? The big circumcision stuff that happened. They probably got a little nervous going back in. They get back to Gilgal, and Gibeah, that is only 20 miles away, they come to him. They say, listen, we're from a far, far land. should Joshua had known. Well, you got to remember, Joshua and the people have only been in the land of Cana now maybe a few months. They don't know where everything is in the land. So these Gibeonites, they come, they're deceptive. We're from a far, far land. And they look like they're from a far, far land. They probably stopped off at Thrifty Tent, picked them up some holy robes, got holes and torn everywhere. The tunics are tattered. Their sandals are all dried out leather flippity-flops hanging off everywhere. They could even talk the part. Hey, listen, our wine bags, we brought you some wine. We want to Oh, my bad. It broke. It's all gone. Listen, we have some bread. We brought some bread. In fact, we stopped off and it was hot and ready. We picked it up, but by the time we're here, it's moldy and crusty, and I'm so sorry. You see, they put on a real good show. Even though they were only 20 miles away, they put on a huge, huge show. They should have known, right? Joshua and the men should have known. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says this about the Gibeonites. It says that the Gibeonites, they were cunning. Now, we don't use that word a lot. Cunning is a word that means clever or crafty. Do you remember a time in earlier in the Old Testament where the word crafty was used? It was used in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, where it described the serpent. It says the serpent, the snake, the evil one, he was the most crafty of all the animals. And you remember what he did? He brought deception to Eve at the fall. So what do? They begin to try to deceive the people. But notice how they did it. Notice how they did that. They took the truth about God, and they mixed it with a lie. This is what the enemy does to us. When he looks at Eve and says, Eve, did God really say that? Did God really say that to you? Notice what he says in verses 9 and 10. In verses 9 and 10, notice there it says, because of the name of the Lord your God, we have heard a report about him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the kings on the other side of Jordan. Listen, they came and said, listen, we know what the Lord God has done. Well, that was true. They did know. In fact, they even probably knew that the city of Ai had gone down, that he had been destroyed, that it's over. But they left that part out. And yet they bring a fake. They bring a really good fake. Why? Because they're cunning, the scripture tells us, because they're crafty. Listen, not only did Gibeon not just have one city, they had multiple cities. This wasn't just a small area. This was a whole people that were coming. They were playing on the emotions of Joshua and the elders. Oh, we've been traveling. We have no food, we're hungry. Listen, they start trying to build them up. We wanna serve you. Listen, we've heard about your God. We wanna serve you. And you know what Joshua does? Joshua begins to fall for it. But notice what happens in verse 7. Look back up at verse 7. At verse 7, there's a phrase that says there were some of the men of Israel said, hey, wait a minute. Perhaps you live among us. Perhaps you live among us. Something didn't feel right. And then all of a sudden, no. Listen, see, we've come from a long, long way. See, Joshua was looking with his eyes. The leaders of Israel, they were being played upon by their emotions. They began to do what was right in their own eyes rather than taking a moment, remembering Deuteronomy 7, you're to make no covenant. Now you may go, but I thought these people were far away. They're from a faraway place. Hang on to that. We're going to come to that. So what happens? Look with me what happens in Joshua 9, 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 9, verses 14 and 15 say this. So the men, this would be the men of Israel, so the men took some of their provisions, but they did not ask the counsel of the Lord. You see that? They did not ask the counsel of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. So here, what ends up happening is they pass the eye test. They pass the eye test. Ladies and gentlemen, church, I want to make sure that you hear this. The enemy has not changed today. The way that he is cunning and crafty, the way that he seeks to deceive you is the exact same way he did this in Genesis 3. The fruit, it was appealing to the eye. He still comes to you and says, doesn't it look good? She'll fulfill your needs. He'll fulfill your needs. That job is going to be incredible. You're going to make all this money and it's going to solve your problems. They're going to play on your emotions. It just feels right. You know, it just feels right. And what ends up happening at that moment, the scripture says, is that they take some of the provisions. You know, listen, some of you today, you're taking the provisions of the world, that moldy, crusty bread that is those wine sacks, those wineskins that are empty. You're taking them and you're not taking the counsel of the Lord and you're being deceived right now. This is what we can see here. And you know what? I just want to say this. I fall for this all the time. It happens. I'm a guy who likes to run hard. Let's make a quick decision because I've got something else I got to go to. Looks right, feels right. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we all are here. And if right now you're sitting there trying to rationalize, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. Listen, you, right now, we're asking the Lord, would you speak? Listen, how about this? Some of you live on Facebook Marketplace. And you look at that thing that you're trying to buy and you see it and it looks great, doesn't it? I got a great deal coming until you get there and look at it. And you realize, oh, they just took a picture of one side of it. You've gone to buy a new house. Maybe some of you have made some living arrangements. You've bought a new home. You've been looking around and you've called your realtor. This was me. I found the house I'd like to go buy. You get there and I don't know what kind of lens they were using, but that place looked massive. And you realize that what looks like from the back door to the front door is 100 yards. It's about 20 feet. Oh, they didn't show me the holes that were in the wall. They didn't show me that the carpet was tattered and torn and dirty. Listen, some of you in this room, you swiped right and you should have went left. You know, don't you? Some of you fell for the lie of thinking this new job, it's going to solve my issues. And it hasn't. It's just created bigger issues. You know what? I'm going to run from this situation over here. That grass looks good. I want you to know that you've still got to mow that grass and what you're running from came with you. Right now, some of you are in a situation where you're going, it hurts bad though, and this is going to relieve it. It could be drink, it could be eat, it could be sex, and no one will ever know. No one's ever going to know. Here's what I want you to know. As a child of God, the Lord will not allow that to happen. Oh, no, it may not be found out for a while, but because he loves you, he's going to let that break forth. And just like that infection in your body eventually breaks forth, that's what sin does to a believer. And you know what the enemy's doing? He's just laughing all the way because he is deceiving some of you right now. And right now, the Holy Spirit is taking this and he is waving a flag and said, this is you, wake up. This is you, wake up. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. They're playing on your emotions. The enemy is wanting you to doubt what God has to say. And some of you right now, you're going, this ain't me. I've got this. I've got it. Just like Joshua said, oh yeah, this is plain as day. Let's make a covenant with them. Let's make a covenant. And some of you have made a covenant with your sin and it's gonna lead to long-term hurt. But here's the grace. The Lord Jesus stands ready to welcome you. You feel like he may be 1,000 miles away. You know what the great thing is that all you got to do is turn around and he's right there. He is there ready to receive you back home, to receive you back home. Listen, these are the dangers of deception. It's dangerous to be deceived. It's dangerous to be deceived. This had long-term consequences for the nation of Israel. The ones they were to destroy now lived among the people. And because they had made a covenant, there was nothing they could do. But there's grace, there's hope. I want you to see the defense, though, against deception. And it's here. I think there's things that we can see. One of the greatest defenses of all time is to go on to offense. Don't you hate a football team or any kind of sports team that they go back in to prevent? They get a good lead happening. They start winning the game and the defense just backs up. Points start getting rolling. Listen, do you know for us, the best defense is that we go on offense with the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, we start pouring it in and with the prayers of the saints to the Father, interceding on our behalf. Notice with me again, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 14. I want you to see something here. It says, so the men took some of the provisions. What provisions? The old, crusty, moldy, broken out provisions of the Lord, the provisions of Gibeon. It says the men took some of it. They looked at it. They were deceived, but they did not ask counsel from the Lord. Listen, Joshua already knew because God had told Moses, listen, when you face a very difficult situation, Moses, here's what you're to do. In fact, Moses, you're about to go the way. You're about to head off. And here's what I want. When Joshua, the young leader, the one you're commissioning, when he doesn't know what to do, here's what he is to do. And God gives very specific rules and steps for Joshua. Notice in Numbers 27. Numbers 27, verse 21 says this. And he, this is God speaking to Moses about Joshua. And he shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. And at his word, they shall go out. And at his word, they shall come in. Both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation. Listen, Deuteronomy 7 had already said, when you go into the land, you destroy everyone. I don't want my people following after the idols, the false, the fake, the dead, the wood, the plastic. I don't want them following after them away from me, the one true living God. Well, here, they look and they think, these folks are from far away. When there's a difficult case, what are you to do? Instead of doing what Moses, what God told Moses to tell Joshua, the word of the Lord, he said, he just made a covenant. But that's not what God called him to do. What God called him to do in Numbers 27 is he says, you go to the Eleazar, the priest, and Eleazar will intercede on your behalf. And then he's gonna come out and he's gonna tell you what you should do. He's going to give you the word. Listen, I'm thankful that today that we don't have to have a high priest. We have one high priest. I don't have to go to anybody to get a word for me, all right? I go directly to Jesus. Jesus is the greater high priest. He's the high priest who has already gone through the veil. He's the high priest who laid his life down for you, for me, for those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. He laid his life down. They placed him in a tomb. They rolled a stone over the grave. You're going, that was Easter. That's every day, guys. That's what we live in light of. That he is alive today. And because he is alive, I have access to God the Father, Jesus, who is praying on our behalf. The Holy Spirit, he illuminates the word of God and he brings the word to me so that I'm not deceived. When I am most deceived is when I don't spend time with the Lord and hear what it is that he has to say. You see, that's what happened with Joshua and the nation of Israel. They looked with their eyes. They listened with their ears. Their emotions said, do this. And where did it get them? Far away from what the Lord had already commanded. So what does that mean for us today? Well, how does this live out for us? Well, first and foremost, I think this. One, we've got to be involved. We've got to, our best defense is the Word of God. God's Word to us. How often has the nation of Israel and us, his people, how often has it gotten us in trouble when we've not sought the counsel of the Lord? When we've not sought the counsel of the Lord, whether that's in dating, marriage, finance, business, our family life. Listen, the world today is dark. It's crazy, isn't it? Socially, sexually, financially, culturally, internationally, economically, things are crazy. But here's what I know, is that his word to us helps us to think like God would desire us to think. Does it answer every question that we bring to it? Listen, the word of God doesn't tell me whether or tell you what house to buy, but it does tell me, help me to think, is it a wise decision? It doesn't tell me where I should move and not move, but it helps me to begin to understand and make decisions based on what would God desire for me. Some of the saddest conversations I have is when people come to me and they've received counsel. They're looking for counsel, but they've already received counsel. And really what they want is for us to try to untangle the counsel that they've already gotten from that Facebook friend that's crazier than a sprayed roach. They've gone and they've sought counsel from somebody whose lives is messed up more than their own. But we're buds. He understands me. She understands me. They're not walking with Jesus, but I think they're going to help me to know what to do. Listen, here's what I can tell you. Because as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ in here, the Holy Spirit resides in you and he will illuminate the word of God to help us to understand what it is that he desires of us. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Don't trust in our own understanding, folks. You see, this is what Joshua did. And when he trusted in his own understanding, what it looked like, what it sounded like, what it tasted like, what my emotions, you know, my gut just says, this is what I ought to do. Listen, that could be indigestion, folks, all right? You've got to get to the word of God. What does the word of God have to say to us about these things? Because listen, we don't want to live a life being deceived or deceiving. We want to live lives that are true. In Psalm chapter 119, the scripture says that your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me ask you something. Are you trying to hide God's word in your heart? You're trying to hide God's word. Look at what Psalm 119, 105 says. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp and a light gives you just the next step. It's not these lights in here so that I could see everybody. It's just the very next step. His word brings illumination to our path, to our situations that we're in, so we're not deceived like Joshua was deceived. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the longest book in all the Bible. There's 176 verses in that psalm. 175 references to the word of God, his statutes, his commandments. The longest book, the longest chapter is all about the word of God and how beneficial it is for us. Folks, that ought to be a clue for you and me. Listen, you want to become wise in your thinking. You want to begin to understand what's the way that I should go. How should I handle this situation? Again, most people, most of us, myself included many times, we end up waiting till we're in a situation to then go, okay, God, I need you to get me something here. I got to find out what is it that you desire here? How do I handle this situation? Look at what Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 6 says. Proverbs was written to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, in justice, and in equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Do you know why we have proverbs? Do you know why we have the word? To help to train us to think like God. To help to train us to have his thoughts. Philippians 2 says, let the mind of Christ be in you. How do we get the mind of Christ? By tasting and eating his word, that we find that it is good. It is sweeter than honey. This is it. Folks, I want to tell you, you can't go to Proverbs and just start finding the answer. What Proverbs and the word is it begins to train us how to think, how to act, how to hear the word, how to hear the Spirit speak to us when we walk into a situation that feels deceptive. How many times have you heard, if it feels too good or it looks too good, it probably is too good? Listen, Lord, I need wisdom. Had Joshua slowed down, taken a moment, had he turned and just obeyed the word that he had he turned and looked at the men, there was those men who said, perhaps they live among us. It could have been less deception. They would have seen it. They would have known. So what does that look like? Literally, what does that look like? Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put this on the bottom shelf. Some of you, if I charged you $1,000 for this, you'd be lining up to take it. But I'm going to tell you, it's engaging with the Word of God each and every day. It's sitting with Him. It's joining in to the Bible reading plan. You know, I love talking to different people in our campuses, and we're all talking about what it is that God is showing us in His Word. I've got a couple of discipling groups that I'm a part of. And you know what? When we talk about what it is that we're reading, we're hearing different things, and the Lord is showing, the Holy Spirit is illuminating His Word. We're able to come together and talk. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's making time for Him. Some of you are going, I don't know that I have time. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can't help but have time. If you don't have time, you're too busy. I'm just going to step on out there. I'm going to tell you, you need to steward your day and give Him the first part of your day. Because if we don't want to be deceived, we need to start with Him. Usually at the end of the day, we're going, oh Lord, how did I get myself in that? And I would tell you, you're not starting with Him. Start your day. Steward the best part of your day with Him. Some of you men in here, I know men don't like to read. I get that. But I'm gonna tell you, you got two ears. Begin listening to that word, pouring it in. Begin taking it in. Ladies, men, we talk to our friends about all kinds of stuff, don't we? We talk about sports, we talk about a show, we talk about Netflix, we talk about this restaurant and that place. Let me ask you this. How many of you are spending time talking about Jesus with the people that are your closest to? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When we begin to take His word and we begin to eat it, we begin to put it into our lives, we begin to taste and see that it is good. Father, I need your word. When they begin to talk to your friends about Jesus, what we begin to find is that we're less deceived. We begin to recognize, we begin to see through the schemes of the evil one who has come to destroy you. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But guys, that's serious. You realize this is a spiritual battle that we're in. I was telling the first service this. You know, we've only had personal copies of the word for probably the last 500 years. Do you realize that? Only for the last 500 years. Some of you are going, that's a long time. Well, in the history of God, no, it's not. You know how people, prior to having a personal copy of scripture, do you know how they heard the word, they would go and gather and they would listen. And then they would go away and they would talk about it. They didn't have it. Hebrews talks about the great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. Go, go. You know what? One thing I hope I don't hear from that great cloud of witnesses is this. I would have loved to have had God's word. I mean, you had the voice of God every day. What happened? What did you do? What's going on? Folks, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Don't be deceived. Right now, you're thinking, I don't have time. I don't know how to do it. I don't like. That would be a deception of the evil one. That'd be a deception of the evil one. The last thing is this in our defense is not only that, but it's our prayer time. It's our voices back to him. His word is his voice to us. Our prayers are our voice back to him. Look with me at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, anybody in here lacks some wisdom? I know I have, but yes. Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. Say that. Father, I need wisdom. Look at Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Folks, some of you in here, you've got huge decisions looming ahead of you. Am I gonna move? Am I gonna stay? Get a new job? Who am I gonna marry? Who am I gonna date? Where am I gonna go to college? There's all kinds of huge decisions that you have to make. And here's the question. Are you letting his word come in? Are you going before the Father and saying, Father, I need you. I need you. Father, I don't know what to do. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to go on my emotions. I'm not going on my gut. Father, I need to hear you. Father, will you send some wise men and some wise women into my life? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you need to find people in your life to ask wisdom of who are that you would go, I want to follow after them because they're following after Jesus so hard. These men, perhaps they live among us. Listen, you want to find, slow down. There are very few things you have to make a decision about today. You've got time to get to the word of God. You've got time. Help me to understand. Father, I need to hear you. We are so easily deceived when we don't have to be. Some of you in here today, you're a follower of Jesus. You're a Joshua, so to speak. You're one of the leaders of Israel. You know Jesus, but you know I need the Lord. Jesus, I need to hear from you. Lord, I need you. I need you to reveal to me. Today, in just a moment, I'm gonna open this place up. These guys are gonna come. We're gonna sing to the Father. And I want you to know there'll be men and women who are down here and we wanna pray with you. You may go, man, I just wanna get on my knees before the Father. I need wisdom. I need wisdom. Some of you in here, you're like Gibeon. And you're deceiving others. You've got the LP hat. You've got all the LP gear. Find life, live sent. You're serving somewhere. You're trying to sing the songs, talking the talk. But when you get up and walk out those doors, you're going, I survived another week. No one knows. Last Sunday, I had a man walk down the aisle and meet me as I was going out. He was pointing at me all the way down the aisle. I knew at that moment, I think he needs to speak to me. We got out and he said, I faked it for the last 15 years. I don't know Jesus. Everyone in here thinks I do, and I don't. And just like the Gibeonites, they won the Oscar, they won their play, their acting, they won. Some of you, you've been winning, but today's the day you pull off the tattered clothes and you say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. I'm through faking it. Some of you in here, you're like the Gibeonites so much so that you've even deceived yourself. You've been trusting in a ritual from a childhood. You've been trusting in how much money you give. You've been trusting in, I do all this, my mama, my daddy, my grandfather. You've done it all. And today, the Holy Spirit has said, you've been deceiving yourself. In the first service, a lady came forward and said, I'm done. I need Jesus. I need him. I need him. Today, our prayer is this. Lord, I need you. I need wisdom. I don't want to be deceived. Father, I've been deceiving. I want to come clean. I need you, Jesus. Maybe some of you need to go to other wise people in this room and you need to pray with them. You need to say, hey, I want to pray with you. Would you pray for me? Maybe you need to come down. You want one of the pastors, someone down here to pray with you. Here's what I'm calling you to. Here's what I'm calling you. If right now you're white knuckling it and you're going, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Don't be deceived. Follow after what the Lord has called you to do today. He's calling. Will you respond? Father, I love you. I'm so thankful that you let us be together. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that you desire to free us from the deception of the evil one, the accuser, the deceiver, the one who wants us to listen to our inner self, the one who wants to play on our emotions, the one who he wants to destroy us. But today, Jesus, I know you've come that we might have life and have it abundantly. And I'm asking today, would you save men and women in this room? I'm asking that today you would open blind eyes. I'm asking that you would bring people from death to life today by the power of your word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking that you would give us strength to step forward and say, I don't want to be deceived any longer. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we magnify you. May you be lifted high. We need you today, Jesus. And it's in your name we ask these things. Amen.